The light's on. Oh, there we go. Okay. We're good. Oh, thanks. I didn't know if I needed to adjust that or not. I sit a little bit lower in the pulpit than my brother here. He's got me by a few inches. Or maybe feet. I don't know. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Andy and Andrew. Initially gave me the tape. This is usually his gig on Sunday evening, I know, and I'm really glad to be here. I don't take it lightly to be able to come and minister from this pulpit. I know the Word of God is lifted up here, honored here, and it is my privilege to do that. I was thrilled when a couple of fellow TMS grads came into the area, and my recollection, Andy, of our first time was when we met at a restaurant that I gave you wrong directions for. And I couldn't understand why you weren't there, and you couldn't understand why I wasn't there. And I said, it's right. And as I was saying, it's right. And then I was saying, oh, wait, I told him the wrong place. And it was my mistake. And anyway, we finally had lunch. And actually, at that meeting, I think, was the first time we said, yeah, I have this idea about a men's conference. And that the Lord's brought that to fruition and been such a blessing to me and to our church. It's been great to be a part of that. So love to have a like-minded church. And I know you do the same, Andy. I encourage people when they come to our church and say, we're looking for a solid church. And he said, well, we'd love to have you here, but if you're going to visit other churches, here's my short list. And of course, Hickman Community Church is one of those. So great privilege for me to be here, not just because I'm here, but because it's an opportunity to handle the Word of God. So we're going to be in Psalms tonight, Psalm 115. I was assigned do something out of the Psalms, and so this is where I landed to in 115, and I'll tell you a little bit why I moved toward this psalm in particular. It's really because of one phrase that I just get a kick out of, but we're going to spend our time here. Let's pray and ask that the Lord would bless us as we take time to give attention to His Scripture. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the great privilege of coming and gathering together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ. We thank you for the faith that you've given. It is your gift to us. We don't boast in it. We thank you for working in our hearts. We thank you for including us in your plan to glorify yourself through the salvation of men and women, those of us who believed. We thank you for the unity of the Spirit that we share. We thank you that even now He is at work in us and will lead us into truth. We thank you for the Word of God that encourages us and you've left for us to read, to meditate upon, to listen to be taught under. So help us now as we would give our attention to this psalm. May it be a blessing to us. May you delight as our hearts respond to its truth. May you be at work in us deeply, things that maybe immediately we'll be able to adjust, and maybe over time you'll plant some seeds that you are working greater righteousness in us later. We don't know how you work and what you do, but we know that your word is powerful, and we know it's truth, and we know it is inspired by you and for our good. You have revealed yourself to people like us. What a marvel. We thank you for this time in it. Bless us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, follow along with me as I read this psalm, Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small, together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful psalm, exciting psalm. Let me ask you to do something just a minute. I'm going to throw out a list of names to you and just don't have to respond. Just listen. And Babe Ruth, Ted Bundy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Samuel Adams, Mary Baker Eddy, Abraham Lincoln, Betty Ross, Hillary Clinton, Benjamin Franklin, Adolf Hitler, Neil Armstrong, Katie Couric, Benedict Arnold. Surely some of those names evoked certain things from you. Excitement, enthusiasm, disgust. Somewhere in there maybe it was a candy bar or a baseball player. I'm not sure which one. There was people we admire and people we don't. How about this list? John Hasselman, Steve Clark, Will Lumpkin, Nancy Conine, Eugene Cho, Tasha Mays, Kendra Kermeen, Chris Cooper, Mark Wollstonecraft, Susan Shaw. Evoke very many images for you? No, these are some of my high school and elementary school friends and two brother-in-laws of mine and one sister-in-law. So they don't evoke the same kind of thing in you all as do these other names that carry a weight or carry a story. There was a serial killer in the list. There was an actor made politician. There were politicians pretending to act something. There were different names, and they all said something to us. A name matters. A name carries with it some kind of, especially of someone famous like these names were, carries with us a connotation. It resonates with something. There's something about a name and what it represents. And this is exactly what the Lord is doing in this psalm, but he's particularly interested that his name be given attention. He wants something of his name, and the psalmist has arrived at it. In verse 1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. And incidentally, and if you have a Bible where Lord there is in all capital letters, we know that's a sign that this is the name of God, Yahweh, or Jehovah in some verses. But so if I slip Yahweh in there, you'll know why I'm doing that. It's not just the Hebrew word for Lord, Adonai, which is like Lord or Master, but it's the name of God. That's why it's all in caps. Not unto us, Yahweh, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness and your truth. You see, God is interested that we pay attention to his name. In Exodus chapter 14, God says, hey, when I come and I outstretch my arm and I do these works against Egypt and against the Pharaoh, Pharaoh is going to know that I'm the Lord, and the Egyptians are going to know that I'm the Lord, and you, Israel, are going to know that I am the Lord. I am Yahweh, really is what it is. Remember Pharaoh's comment, was Yahweh, that I should listen to him. Well, he would know his name very soon. He would know what his name is. And the idea of God giving Moses the name to go to the people, tell them, I am that I am has sent you. Tell them, Yahweh has sent you. I'm giving you my name so you will know something about me, which represents his power and his greatness and his majesty, his importance. So in Joshua chapter 2 then, when the spies go into the land and the prostitute takes them in and she says, you know, our whole town is afraid of Yahweh because we heard about Egypt. The reputation had gone forward. The message had gone out. And indeed, God was wanting the people to know his name. I don't think too many chapters in the Bible express it better than this. If you go to the very last book of the Old Testament, the Mexican prophet Malachi, that's a joke, yes. Malachi, the last prophet there, who speaks to the people in chapter 1, verse 6. God says this to the people, he's not happy with them. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where's my honor? And if I am a master, where's my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say the table of the Lord is despised in the way you're treating it. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, these diseased animals, is it not evil? Why not offer them to your governor? In other words, give these same things to your secular leader. Would your secular leaders be happy to receive diseased animals from you? Give them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. In other words, stop the sacrifices, one of you. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled. And as for its fruit is despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and how you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from you, says the Lord, be cursed. Cursed be the swindler who is a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. It's kind of clear, isn't it? God wants his name to be held up and to be stood. And we see from time to time it pops up for his name's sake. One of our favorite psalms, of course, Psalm 23. That's what it says, isn't it, right there? You don't have to turn there. I'll be there just momentarily. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness, what? For his name's sake. The glory of our salvation is to the Lord, not to us. He's the one that it goes to. And don't we want to see the name of Christ exalted, Christians? Don't we know in that day when Christ appears that we're going to be with him in his glory and every knee's going to bow and every tongue is confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? Oh, that's going to be a great day. It's going to be a day that all opposition is over, right? It's going to be a day that we'll be unrestrained with what restrains us now, the sin that easily entangles us, the flesh that we fight against. There'll be a day when you and I will be in the presence of the Lord and we will bring praise to him and we will shout his name and the assembly will be all of the redeemed and the angelic host that love the Lord, and will be one company praising his name. Can you imagine that day? Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. We see through it dimly now, don't we? As wonderful it is to gather together tonight and sing glory to the Lord. Oh, there's a better day coming. There's a day that we have to look forward to, and God is concerned with it. And again, the psalmist arrives on it, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. And note that there's a reason behind it. There's a reason behind it. Now, I subtitled the message, right? The message tonight, glory to his name. That's sort of obvious from the psalm. That's got to be the main emphasis here. And I subtitled it, how the people of God are encouraged to make him known. Because I want you to be encouraged to take the heart of this psalm and be like the psalm writer. How can I bring about the glory of God's name? Because he's walking us through something here. He just doesn't sit down and let's write a poem without any thought. No, this is working us through something. No, not unto us the starting point. The very first thing, the first encouragement to us is, number one, realize glory is not for us, it's for the Lord. Glory is not for us, it's for the Lord. Now, hopefully I'm preaching to the choir here. Hopefully there's an amen in your heart with that, right? You don't have to say anything. My church would say, oh, someone's speaking. You know, you're free to do that, right? But it's an amen to that. Glory is not for us, it's for the Lord. And we got to have that in mind. And the psalm has, not to us, but to your name give glory. And look what he focuses on, because of your loving kindness and truth. Now, let's just go over a couple Hebrew themes here, I think. The first one, to give glory. The idea of glory is really the idea of literally something heavy or something weighty. Now, remember the 60s? Not all of you do. Some of you remember the 60s. Remember the 60s? You don't have to raise your hand. But remember when something was really monumentous. What did the hippies say? That is heavy, man. Right? That's exactly the idea of glory. This is weighty. This has import, right? And so glory had everything to do with maybe your appearance or what you have, even a possession. You know, we go along in a sweet ride, right, down the boulevard, and check me out, right? Because there's a connection because of what I possess. But the glory of God is the kinds of things that he possesses, which is all power and all knowledge and all wisdom, all goodness. The glory of God is what makes him weighty. The glory of God is a presence that you can't deny. If I invited you over to the church parsonage where I live, and I said, come here, I want to show you my rock collection. This is an outlandish story. But I brought you into the backyard, and you looked up shocked because there was Half Dome in my backyard and El Capitan, right? I say, yeah, I moved him over here as a part of my rock collection. That would make an impression upon you, wouldn't it? He's some kind of rock collector. This is what it's talking about when we're the glory, the weight, the magnitude of God. Oh, not to us, but to your name be glory. But because of your loving kindness, this is probably hands down my favorite Old Testament word. We translate, in my version, loving kindness, not mercy, compassion, grace, all kinds of way we translate this word. But the word brings with it an idea of loyalty and commitment, a goodness that becomes because I have an obligation to you. And so it's a good word to pair with covenant. It's even fun to say chesed, right? And it talks about this, well, I would translate it, if you ask me, loyal love. It's a kind of mercy. It's a kind of compassion. And it becomes of God's commitment to do good. Oh, because of your loyal love, your name deserves glory. And the other word is, mine says truth. It's the idea of steadfastness, really, or permanence, or certainty. So, you know, it's true. You know, can I walk on this rickety bridge? Yeah, don't worry, it's true. In other words, it's going to stand up. It's going to bear your weight. You're going to be able to use it as a bridge. And that kind of sureness and certainty is the Lord. Oh, two things, the psalmist says. That you're worthy of praise, that your name ought to be glorified for, is because of the kind of the loyal love that you have. And also, because of the kind of ongoing faithfulness you exhibit. Loving kindness and truth, faithfulness. These are reasons, aren't they, to bring glory to the Lord. So we need to realize for the his nature, for the way he is, the glory is not for us, it's for him. It's for the Lord. Number two, second encouragement, we should recognize the world withholds glory to God. The reason that we need to recognize this, we need to know what we're in for when we go. Notice what the psalmist says. I'm making this statement. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth, your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where now is their God? Typical comment from the world, frankly. Sounds, doesn't it, like 2 Peter chapter 3? 2 Peter chapter 3, when, what about the second coming, Christians? No, first of all, it says in 2 Peter 3:3, that the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Forever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. In other words, say, Christian, you know, it's been 2,000 years. You're still waiting for the Lord? Really? That's the mocking. Yeah, we're waiting. And it goes on, you can read it for yourself, and they forget, you know, how patient the Lord is. Right? They forget. They forget that he destroyed the world once already with water, and it's not so hard for him to do it again with fire. But the world's going to say, hey, where's your God? See, this seems to imply if the world's saying it to us, we haven't really been broadcasting enough why he's glorious. If they're withholding the glory, then we're not doing enough. So not to us. Maybe our glory's been misplaced, but to your name be glory. For why should the world say, where is their God? We gotta recognize that the world withholds glory. But number three, we need to remember our God. This is the reason for my coming to the psalm. I love this. Why should the nation say, where now is their God? Listen to the answer. But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. That's it. I love that phrase. He does whatever he pleases. If I was translating it, it would say, he does what he jolly well pleases. That's the idea. That's the idea is what he's saying. It's not unlike Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. It'll sound similar to you. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his possession. For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deeps. Whatever he pleases, he does. This is such a comfort. The Lord does whatever he pleases. If he doesn't do it, he hasn't been pleased to. Sometimes we wring our hands. Why isn't this not happening? Why is it? Well, God's in control. He does whatever he pleases. And we have the privilege, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, to enter boldly into the presence of this God and plead our case. And if he's pleased, he can move all might. He's ruler of heaven and earth. There's nothing that's in his way. He can do whatever he pleases to assist you and I. Oh, hallelujah to that. You say, well, why doesn't he always? Well, friends, you and I, we need to come to terms with the fact it's not to us who is the glory, it's to his name is the glory. And if he says that doesn't fit with my wise plan to glorify myself, then I want you to trust me. And we got to face that. You see, but we don't need to say, where's our God? How come he hasn't shown up? That's what the world says, where's your God? We say, he's in the heaven, doing whatever he pleases. So if this or that befalls me, then I know that in the grand scheme of things, he's pleased to allow that to come to my life to serve whatever purposes he has in mind. And I may not know, and I may not like it, and I may be undone, and I may be plowed under. But my God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases, and he deserves glory. Why? Because of his loyal love. Oh, Christian, don't think for a minute if you're going through it, it's because God doesn't love, because his mercies, his loving kindness is everlasting. And he's worthy of praise because he is a loyal, loving God. You put your faith in his hands, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've given yourself to him, then you're in safe hands. Now, yeah, you might lose in this life. Oh, but there's an eternity coming. There's an eternity coming when you're in the hands of the Lord. And the mockers will be away. And it's those of us who say, we know where God is, we're going to be with him. Don't rest the faithfulness of God on your experience of how things go here, because it's going to be eternity when we really realize the loyal love of our God and the ongoing faithfulness of him, which is the reason we should praise him. Let's not fail to do that. We remember our God is. Remembering God then leads us to number four. Number one, we need to realize glory is not for us, it's for the Lord. Number two, we need to recognize the world withholds glory from God. Number three, we need to remember our God. Number four, we must reject the gods of this world. What might we be tempted to put faith in if we're going through it here? If we're experiencing the travails of the world, if we're struggling, if we don't feel like we have all the answers yet, well, we know that he's in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. That's confounding for the world because they say, great, yeah, well, we can't see him. Where is he? Well, hey, you know what? Blessed is we who have not seen and believe. He's made promises. It's been clear. The Spirit of God is at work. We understand these things by faith that God has given us as a gift that we might trust him. And where we're feeling a failing, we beg for more faith. We beg for grace. But listen to what the psalmist says. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. I mean, it's sort of like that, Aaron. Well, why are the people, I don't know, we threw this stuff in the fire and out popped a cow. And so we decided we might worship it then since it just popped out like that. The fact that somebody would make idols and say, okay, that looks pretty good, now we'll give it all of our devotion. We look at that and we say, pathetic. So sad. I remember when I was in Los Angeles for some years and I took some junior high school students and we just visited a Hindu temple. And I remember how sad it was to see these people going through these routines and ritual prayers and doing, and this one woman that stood up and kneeled down and prayed and stood up, walked one step, kneeled down and prayed about. And I don't know what she was appealing to her God for, but she was there doing this all the way around. We visited there, and I don't remember now if it was a Buddhist temple or a Hindu temple. We went visited a couple of different places, and one time somebody took a gallon of milk, a jug of milk, opened the top, just dumped it right over the top of the idol. I thought, that's ridiculous. So sad. I'm not trying to mock people with it, but it's false. There's no hope there. It had a mouth, but it wasn't drinking. And so these idols that people worship or whatever we give to ourselves to that's not the Lord, but eyes that can't see and ears that don't hear and noses that don't smell and hands that don't feel, feet that don't walk. They can't make a sound from their throat. But you know who's spoken? The Lord has spoken to us, hasn't he? And in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. And Jesus has declared to us the kingdom and the glory. And he has announced, and his apostles have announced that there is salvation in no one else but Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. So for we Christians, we look at the idolaters in this case and we go, they're going to become like them, dead, silent, no life. Oh, we can't put our trust there. We must reject the gods of this world. But number five, we must rest in the Lord of our salvation. Notice he moves through and he's talking, of course, this in the context of Israel's worship. And hey, our God is in the heavens and he does what he pleases. Look at these crazy pagans. The Gentile world is going after these false gods. But, oh, verse 9, oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. Verse 10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. Trust in Yahweh. You who fear the Lord, verse 11, trust in Yahweh. Make sure your trust is in the right God. No. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now, this is strange. Israel, why doesn't it say, Israel, you, he's your trust and your shield. House of Aaron, he's your help and your shield. Those who fear the Lord, he's your help and your shield. No, it's their help. What? Who's the they? Well, the only they so far is the ones that have those idols that are false. Why should the world say, where's their God? Oh, but we who know him should say, we know where he is. And he's doing whatever he pleases. And we can tell you about him. And we can bring you to know. We can tell you what he's told us. We can give you the reason. We can explain to you how he's changed our lives. Because in Israel here, Aaron here, those who fear the Lord here, in our context, New Testament, Christians, trust in the one true God who comes to you in Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is their help and their shield. You are the witnesses of this. You are the salt and light for this. Why should the world say this? We already know. So trust in the Lord, people of God. Trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. How are they going to know where our God is if the ones who know aren't letting them know? Do you see how evangelistic this psalm is? Why should the world say it? If he is really worthy of this kind of glory. If it's not unto us, O Lord, not to us. Not to us, Yahweh, but to your name be glory because of your loyal love, because of your ongoing faithfulness. Who's going to communicate that loyal love and that ongoing faithfulness? It's those of us who've experienced it. That's who. Because we can give testimony to how great our God is. Our God's in the heaven doing whatever he pleases, and he is pleased to give grace to mankind in the person of his Son. He's made a way for these foolish idolaters like us to come to know the one true God. To experience in covenant his loyal love and his ongoing faithfulness. I love it when Jesus in the Gospel of Luke lifts the cup. Or before he does, they arrive for the Last Supper, we call it. He says, oh, I've been eagerly waiting to have this meal with you. Why? Because at it, he was going to say, guess what? You see this bread? Now I want you to remember that this is my body broken for you. And see this cup? This is now the new covenant, my blood. You eat and you drink this as you gather together to eat and drink this. And remember me. I'm bringing in the new covenant. I'm making a way for hard-heartedness to become soft, for stiff-neckedness. Is that one? Nakedness, but stiff-neckedness to be remedied. Oh, here's the new covenant. If you believe in me, we're the ones. Oh, people of God, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. He's ours too, obviously, but we know it, and they do not. We need to rest in the Lord. And number six, we need to regard our mission. You need to regard your mission. It's implied there in those verses, O Israel, he's their help and shield. O house of Aaron, he's their help and shield. You who fear the Lord, he's their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. Oh, he'll bless us. He'll bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Hey, this is all good for us. Let's enjoy it. Let's announce it. Let's celebrate that. That's all very good. That's all part of resting in the Lord. We can rest in the Lord because he's doing it for us. But our mission, verse 16, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now this kind of throws us a little bit at first. I'm like, okay, what's he doing here? Well, the one blessing us is the maker of the heavens and the earth. They've already said, where is your God? And we say, in the heavens. Doing whatever he pleases. The heavens are the Lord. That's where he is. That's his abode. But the earth, he's Lord of the earth also. But what has he done with the earth? The earth he has given to the sons of men. We have an abode, don't we? Heaven's later. Right now we have abode that is the earth. He's given the earth to the sons of men. And then the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. This seems a little odd too. But his point is, listen, be on your mission. We have a Lord who is in the heavens doing whatever he pleases, but he's left us here on the earth, and we have a mission to let them know, those who need to know, that he is their shield. He is their hope and their shield. He's left us here on this earth to do it, and the dead aren't going to get it done. It's you and I who are still breathing. It's you and I who know these things and know this God. The dead do not praise him. That's why it's for us to praise him. Nor do any who go down to silence. It is, hey, believer, are you breathing? Do you have life? Well, you've been given this life in this arena, this abode, so you might live for the Lord, that you might live for the Lord Jesus Christ and be a broadcaster of what he's done for you. You're a person of the truth. The church, we're the pillar and stand of the truth. We have it. We know what God's about. We know the good news. We know the message of eternal life. And oh man, we have it to go into, because there's lots of people out there and they're worshiping stuff that is dead. And they don't know the one true God. And they've been brought to the point of mocking. Where's your God? Oh, he's in the heavens doing whatever he's pleased. And one of the things that he's pleased is to leave us here in our arena, you will, to do the mission that he's left for us to do. The dead aren't getting it done. They can't do it. And so he says then, doesn't he? The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth is given to the sons of men. The dead don't praise the Lord, nor do any who go into silence. But as for us, oh, here it is, friends. As for us, verse 18, we will bless Yahweh. We're going to lift up his name. We're going to praise his name. We're going to make his name great. We're going to let people know he's worthy of glory because he is faithful in his love commitment to them, those whom he loves. Who can separate us from the love of God? Can any power in heaven? No. Any power on earth? Oh, it's such good news to tell people, you know what? You can't ruin it either. If he's after you, you're his. You can't blow it. He decides whom he's going to save. and he works to save. Now you can't resist it. Oh, he does whatever he pleases. Who can resist? Oh, when we can announce to men and women who are lost in their sins and are troubled that there's no way out, and how could I ever be at peace with God? And we say, our God does whatever he pleases. And if he says, if you will put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll believe that the Son of God, God came and took on flesh and he died in our place. Oh, it was necessary for him to become a man so he could pay man's price. He could shed man's blood. It was the only way. The wages of sin is death. Man's sin had to have man's death. But not any man would do. Oh, not any man would do. It had to be a pure and sinless one, and we can't find men like that. So God himself came down in flesh, and the perfect Son of God made the perfect sacrifice for sinners like us. And because he did, there's hope. Because God raised him from the dead, and now he gives eternal life to any who believe in him. He does whatever he pleases. He saves who he intends to save. You can't get away, and there is every hope. And if you cry out to him, he answers. He's not grudging with his grace. He's free with it. He's abounding in loving kindness, in faithfulness. Oh, those are the very reasons we want to glorify his name. And so, friends, when we read this psalm and we think about the rightness of glorifying God, God's not content just for us to glorify his name. Why? Apart from being checked into the message, why was he so upset in Malachi? You are profaning my name, but my name is to be through the earth. It didn't say just for Israel. My name's going to be gloried in the earth. I want everybody to know who I am. And the dead aren't getting it done, friends. You and I are the ones who are called and commissioned and freed up to proclaim the truth of God's love. Have you known his faithfulness? I'm sure you have. Have you known his loyal love commitment to you? How many times has he failed to forgive you your sin? If you know him, never. How many times has he let you down? Never. How many times has he failed to be consistent with what he says? Never. How many lies has he told you? None. We have him and his spirit within us and his truth and his gospel to proclaim. Oh, who can stand against us? What can they do? Kill us? Well, we're still, he's in the heavens doing whatever he pleases. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. So kill us then, but you're not going to change the truth. You're not going to change his faithfulness and his loving kindness. Those things stand, and they're the reasons that we give him glory. Not to us. Not to us, Yahweh, but to your name be glory. And he has glorified himself through his Son. This is my beloved Son, he said, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. You guys are, I know, soon going to be an exciting voyage. In Colossians, I think. Aren't you going to start that, Andy? We just finished. Today was our last Sunday in Colossians. Oh, you're in for a treat. That's an awesome letter. And Christ is magnified in it. And we're called to live consistently with that. This is what God wants. He doesn't need us. He's in the heavens doing whatever he pleases. But he's been pleased to save you. And since you're not dead, to have you do his work. As for us. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the time in the Word. We thank you for the grace that you have given to us who have trusted in Christ and the great privilege we have of being given the gift of faith. What a joy to know that you are at work in our hearts, that you've been at work before the foundation of the world to bring glory to yourself through the salvation of sinners like us. We are so thankful that you've included us in your glory in this way. And Lord, help us to live out our gratitude so that we know that you are the one. And through us then, maybe others, as you're pleased, may know so too. Thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.